you're right in the middle of helping Scott on South Mountain. The trees he's planted again are?
He's got a Santa Rosa plum and a Katy apricot, it sounded like.
And are those even
they're great
fruit trees we should try in the desert?
Yeah, they sure are. There are a lot of stone fruit varieties that are specific to this low desert area with low chill hour requirements. And those are a couple that are pretty good. These trees, though, do require some nice, well-drained soil. It's nice to have a little bit of organic matter in the soil. So if you're plopping them into the hillside of one of our communities, a rocky hillside somewhere, you might have some trouble getting those trees to get established. So you have to improve the cultural conditions. He mentioned that he'd been putting down fertilizer, and a fertilizer can help. But it's not a cure-all for different problems that you're facing with your trees. You need to address the cultural conditions, that is the soil qualities, the soil texture and structure, the drainage, as well as
lost
my train of thought because I was starting to go back to the fertilizing. No.
Fertilizer's
not to mention the irrigation was the last thing I was going to say.
So, for Scott, a good source of information for him to dig a little farther on this.
Well, you could contact the Maricopa County Agricultural Extension Office. They have some publications that are really well written that talk about how to grow stone fruits in the low desert. So, good material. With the extension office.
All right, let's see how we can help Dick Collin from Mesa. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I have an orange tree that was here when we bought the house. I know it's fairly old, but it's a very healthy tree, does very well. I have a lot of oranges. But I just, it gets a lot of these new shoots, and I just don't know how I should be trimming it.
Well, new shoots are a good thing. There are some suckers that emerge from below the root graft, which need to be eliminated because they can compete with the sweet fruit branches above the graft union. The new shoots are a good thing. Are you referring to some of the interior sprouts that are emerging from the branches above ground?
They seem to be all over, but a lot of them are interior where they grow real fast. They shoot out and they don't get oranges on them, but they're. Somebody told me that they may take energy or whatever away from the oranges maturing.
Well, yeah, there are some of those upright shoots that emerge from inside the canopy of the tree. They're often stimulated by sunlight that probably shouldn't be there because the tree might have been over-pruned in the past. But remember, any kind of interior growth on the trees can help shade the interior. I wouldn't be too concerned. If those upright shoots that grow right up through the middle of the tree and they're pretty vertical without any side branches, you can take those out, but just be careful not to prune all of them out all the time. They don't hurt the tree to leave them in.
And as you had mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, we're going into the cooler season, so you want that extra, that's essentially
insulation.
Another layer of insulation.
Sure. Yeah, you might want to leave them until spring, just if you're seeing them this time of year, and maybe selectively remove a portion of them next spring.
Now, you had mentioned weed whack damage. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's just one of my pet peeves. I see a lot of, we call it weed eater blight. It is sometimes the damage that's done to trees that don't have protection at the base where there's grass growing. And so weed whackers, go around the tree to cut the grass that's near the trunk of the tree. And inadvertently, the cambium of the tree is damaged by the weed whacker. Sometimes trees can be completely girdled with that weed whacker damage, and the tree can, of course, die. You can see dieback and decline because that cambium is responsible for the uptake of water and nutrients and delivering those up from the root zone and also for carrying the sugars and starches downward from the trees, from the leaves. Back down to the root system. So you start damaging that cambium around the base of the tree, and you can cause a tree to decline or die.
John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, we appreciate you talking trees with us this morning.
Just on that note, just there's preventative measures for that weed whacker damage. You can put a plastic guard around the base of the tree, or you can sometimes spray a contact herbicide around the base of the tree to about an 18-inch radius to kill the grass so you don't have to keep coming in there every week with your weed whacker.
A contact herbicide?
Yeah, like Roundup. Just spray
and that won't kill the tree?
No, you can spray it on the grass around the base of the tree and give yourself a little radius of protected area.
Mr. Edward Maureen, we appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. It's nice to be here.
And your tree today was, which mesquite were we specifically talking about?
Well, I think we had talked about honey mesquites, but we kind of touched on a bunch of them.
Are those
today.
The ones with the thorns that are about 9 inches long when you trim
no.
them?
They're actually selections. They're actually varieties, to go back to what you had said earlier, of honey mesquites available in the marketplace now that are thornless. So best of both worlds there.
And if you're interested in becoming a tree worker, the ACTC has a tree worker workshop coming up Friday, November 7th, 6:15 to 3 p.m., aztrees.org. Or, of course, you could always go to itreeservice.com. We appreciate you joining us for this broadcast of Talking Trees. We'll be back in November with our John Eisenhower, Integrity Tree Service.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.